Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. I'm just going to read a couple verses and then tell you the story about this man. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Then it lists the various sins that he committed. And if you turn to 2 Kings 21, you get even a fuller account of all the sins that this man committed. And of all the people that I've ever read about in all of history, if you can say that one man was the wickedest of them all, I would say that Manasseh, the king of Judah, was the worst of all the people that ever lived. And that makes me ask the question tonight, could God ever forgive him for the things that he did? I think of the people in our century, for example, Hitler. I watched the closing part of a film last night on television of one of the camps that Hitler used to kill Jews. And what an awful and terrible thing it was. I remember touring many of those camps. I think we've toured nearly all of them and laid wreaths. And we've seen something of Auschwitz and Tublin and some of the others. And we've been horrified as we have seen what they have preserved to remind us how evil and savage the heart of man is. And all the other people that have lived just in our century, that have been evil and wicked and godless, we read about them every day in our newspapers, slaughtering 4 and 5 and 10 people. Or there are 40 wars going on right now. I read about one war where they went in and they slaughtered an entire town and killed every person in the town. That wasn't in the Second World War or in Vietnam. That was just a few days ago. That's happening now. The savagery of the heart of man. Can God forgive? This man was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man who labored mightily for his country. Hezekiah was a good man. He was a godly man. He walked with the Lord. But one day he made a tragic mistake. God said to him, Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah moaned and groaned and begged God for a few more years of life. And finally God granted it and gave him 15 more years. He refused to accept death when God said you're to die. He did not set his house in order. Instead, 3 years later, there was a little baby born by the name of Manasseh. And we read that during these final 15 years of Hezekiah's life, he entertained the Babylonians and the heathen who were to return to Jerusalem and later overthrow it, having learned his secrets. You see, the Bible teaches that some people can live too long. You can live too long and undo all the good that you've done. When the time comes and the appointed moment comes, accept it as from God. And that's very difficult to do because we all want to hold on to life. But the Bible says there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Now Manasseh became king at the age of 12, and he set himself to undo all that his father had accomplished. And I'd say he's one of the wickedest men of all of history. He was an idolater, where self is preferred above God. And under the law, a man could be stoned to death in those days for being an idolater. And God hates that sin for some reason more than any other sin. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Bible says, keep yourselves from idols. And there are many idols that stand between you and God tonight. He was not only guilty of idolatry, he was guilty of immorality. He built altars to Ashtoreth, Baal, and other gods, the so vile and obscene orgies. The priests would cut themselves and beat themselves and then commit immorality with the temple prostitutes. so that religion, instead of being with the true and the living God, as it had been under his father Hezekiah, now became corrupt and degraded and obscene. And we see the same today in the violence and sex that we see in the motion pictures and in the magazines. You go to a magazine stand today, and if you're a Christian and you're still able to blush, you'll blush to even go get a newspaper at what you see. But very few can blush anymore. We've lost the ability to blush. We're so used to it. We're so hardened to it. We've become a part of the world around us. And the Bible says, "Be ye separate, saith the Lord." And then he was religious, just like we in America. We are a very religious country. The Soviet Union is a very religious country. They have religion. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity. We have it all in America. He had religion. The Bible says even the devil believes. Do you know that the devil is very religious? Nicodemus came to Jesus, a very religious man. He had kept all the law. He obeyed all the commandments. He gave his tithe to the temple. He believed with all of his heart. But Jesus said, "That's not enough, Nicodemus. You need to be born from above." Are you religious? You go to church. You have a religious background. But deep in your heart, you don't have that daily fellowship with Christ. There isn't the daily Bible reading and prayer. There isn't the constant dependence upon the Holy Spirit. So every person here will have to admit that we're guilty of breaking all of God's law. All of it, no matter how religious we may be. "I, the Lord, search the heart." God knows your heart. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." And God warned. God never brings judgment without warning, and God warned time after time. "Watch out, Manasseh. Judgment is going to come. Be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And God said to Manasseh, "I'm going to bring such a judgment upon Judah and upon you that whoever hears of it, both of his ears will tingle." Judgment is coming. God's judgment fell, and Jerusalem was captured by the Assyrians. And Manasseh was taken and bound in chains. And he was carried through the streets of Jerusalem. And I can imagine those people whose families he had destroyed threw stones at him and spit on him and called him all kinds of names. And he was dragged through the streets. Then he was taken 1,500 miles away to Babylon. And he was put in a cold, damp dungeon. And left there with a lashing conscience and tormenting memories of what might have been. He had time to meditate upon his evil deeds. I want to ask you tonight, if you were God, would you forgive him? Think of it now. He'd killed thousands of people, innocent people. He had tortured them. He had taken a whole nation down to destruction, just like Hitler did. If you were God, could you have forgiven him? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "God, who is rich in mercy." Many times troubles in this life are made the instruments of God in leading us to God. The hand of God was clearly visible in the punishment of Manasseh. He had leisure time now to think in prison. And the scripture says, "I remembered God and was troubled. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord." And sometimes God has to send trouble to us before we'll seek him. Multitudes of people never begin to think of their sins or their need of salvation till the hour of pain and sickness and bereavement or death comes. Maybe God had allowed troubles in order to drive you to the cross. Manasseh began to pray. Think of it now. In that dungeon, this evil, wicked, godless man that deserved hell, if any man ever deserved hell, cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Does God have that kind of mercy? He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. But the Bible teaches that God is a God of mercy. We don't know the mercy of God. It's so beyond our comprehension and our thinking that no matter what sin anybody has ever committed in history, if we truly repent, God will forgive. He has to forgive because his word says so. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, Numbers 14:18. The Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. If you return to him. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy, not by works of righteousness which we've done. We can't work it up. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's why Christ died on the cross for our sins. And there was a man dying there that deserved hell. He was a thief. He was a murderer. And suddenly in that last moment, he turned to Christ and he said, Lord, remember me. And in that moment, Jesus turned to him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I expect to see that man in paradise. That man's in heaven today, not because he could come down from the cross and get baptized, not because he could come down from the cross and take communion, not because he could come down from the cross and give some money to charitable work, not because he could get down from the cross and live a good life. He was a wicked, godless man. He was saved by the sheer mercy and grace of God. And that's what brings us to the cross. You'll never understand what the cross means till you understand. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What a gift God gives us.